Good evening. It is 9:01. It is October 4th, 2018, and this is the discussion call where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. This is for you. We do not teach any, or NLA does not teach any topics here. It's an open forum, and the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not necessarily represent the views of National Liberty Alliance. And I'm sure you've all been following all the goings on, the Kavanaugh hearing and all of these other good things. I understand they have a majority of three now. Flakely and Murkowski and the woman from Maine have decided they can go ahead and vote for him, so it looks like he will be our new Supreme Court Associate Justice. I've heard lots of interesting scuttlebutt these last few days. Apparently when what's the gal that's on the Senate committee? Feinstein. Ms. Feinstein sent in the request to the FBI to investigate Ford. They also started investigating her, and there's been some doxing done by some of the Democrats. They had one arrested today for that. A little bit here, a little bit there. Every little bit helps. And it looks like we will soon have our major arrests. They claim that if you hear that the National Guard has been called out, that's a signal that they're going to start with the major arrests. And I think it was on the Monday call they mentioned that there have been 51,400 sealed indictments, roughly the last I heard from a couple of weeks ago, and then someone said there's 80,000 unsealed indictments out there. So that's a whole lot of people are going to be having an interesting trip here shortly. And with that, I'll open it up to whatever anybody would like to talk about tonight. The topic is yours. No one very talkative, huh?
Well, I'll add a couple things that happened years ago. I was supposedly the governor for Illinois, the du jour, and I would not take anybody in because I was afraid they were going to get in trouble. And here's the things that have taken place. When I was down in Branson, Missouri, we had a man come in from Washington, D.C., and he's driving an old pickup truck with a trailer on it, and the car broke down on the highway. So we went out to see what was going on with him, and I ended up having to pay to have him towed in. It turned out that he was a government agent. Interesting?
Yeah,
they slipped them right in on us. I was curious about him from day one. The man that was doing the speaking down there had been an electrician on a submarine. And he was going, he was really deep into this corporation stuff. And he was fighting it with everything he had. Well, when I met him, he had been in a house, and they thought he was still in the house. They set the house on fire, and they burned up his rife machine and everything he had. But he was not there. He was down in, Anyhow, he was not there. So he moved in with the man, as I mentioned last night, about having the boil in the groin area, and his lady, and he was staying there because they had a warrant, or not a warrant, but a call out to get rid of this man. They tried everything they could to kill him. While he was there, another man showed up, and an attorney was after him, and he decided he was going to get rid of that attorney, so he took a baton, Anyhow, he took the license to use that man's name, which put him completely out of the law business. He couldn't do anything because this guy had him tied up. And that attorney put the call out to have him hit. Now, the man that I said they heard out of the house, they finally went after him by going through his children. And they had his children signed to put him in the hospital, which he did not come out of. They murdered him in there. That was in St. Louis. That this is the kind of stuff that they do, so be real careful on who you are dealing with. Know who you're dealing with first.
It's sometimes hard to do.
You have to be really reluctant, and you have to be real careful to find out who you can trust and who you can't trust.
Anyone else have any comments about anything in particular that's going on or not?
I want to put in a plug for We the People Patriot Soapbox 24/7 live stream. And it's out there on YouTube. Look for Patriot Soapbox and you'll find it. And we'd love to have anybody who wants to come in and contribute to the YouTube chat in there and maybe get on Discord and maybe become one of the hosts on there. That's how I got there. Thank you.
Yes, that's a success story. It works. If you want to be a speaker, just get a hold of Terry. She'll help you get started. And if you have good input and information, why, you too can spend a lot of time on Soapbox 24/7.
I see a lot of people that come in here, but they don't have a lot to say. So I want to hear somebody. Let's get another subject.
Okay. What would you suggest?
Well, if I suggest it, it's a subject I wanted. And if one of the other people suggests, it's a subject they wanted. I'd like to hear what everybody else has to suggest.
Well, the deficit for the 2017, which ended on the September 30th, was $1.2 trillion. Can anybody imagine what economy would be without that money?
Good point.
A lot of money.
They take that money out of the population. There'll be a lot of people who are going to be really crying the blues, whether they're under indictment or not, because That's what they're working on, is this money put in by George Soros.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been funding all this stuff.
Well, November 3rd is supposed to be the deadline about the Iran. They're not supposed to sell any oil. And I heard that five European countries, they're going to bypass SWIFT, which is the, how to call it, with the center when the payments clearance center where the money in our exchange goes to direction where they're supposed to be. So even Europeans now thinking to bypass the United States currency. And this is quite interesting because I always thought how that when United States announced the how they call it, sanction, what kind of jurisdiction they have. And I think I come up to it that because their currency is around the world, they can do, because whoever use their currency, seems like United States can say, okay, you cannot use it. So that's the one thing. But the BRICS country, now they're bypassing the SWIFT, seems like United States alienated themselves with the different countries. So that's interesting.
Yes, there's going to be some major economic changes soon.
So then common lawyer Brandt talked about the recently about the income tax. John chime in. We all know that the Federal Reserve System and the taxation, income tax, was introduced in the same year. So I heard, and this is the least mentioned reason why, what is the income tax, and I think when I read that, because we're using now the currency which belongs to the Federal Reserve, we don't have the dollar anymore. They tax us basically because we're using the private money.
That's a fraud.
Yes, but, you know, who has a gun? 300 million Americans presumably have a gun, and they're useless.
Well, unfortunately, they took all my guns. I had five inheritances that I was taking care of, trying to get straightened out, and they came in, and they just took absolutely everything I had.
God.
I've seen somewhere, I think it was in Florida, one county, when they have this program, we don't ask, I mean, we won't tell, just bring the guns, and they, and people brought like 3,000 pieces and give them back.
Why?
Well, I'm going to go a bit farther. I had a brother-in-law who was from New Jersey. He had two brothers. I won't go into the background because it gets quite complicated, let's put it that way. But the two brothers married very well, and they did very well financially. Now, one brother had a kid that he went to school with that they remained friends all these years, who was doing exploration for oil. So he got a hold of me and said, Roland, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Sound familiar from the old Godfather? Anyhow, he said, I'm going to go out. He said, I got this site. I'm going to go in for the oil. He said, I'll take you in on a 50-50 basis. You put so much money in, I'll guarantee you will not lose it, because if you lose it, I'll give it back to you. How could you go wrong? And he started drilling for oil, and he was hitting it absolutely everywhere. And they thought they were really going to be making money. Unfortunately, the quote-unquote government went in and shut them all down. They didn't want those oil wells pumping out that oil, because they were getting it all from overseas. Enough of that story.
I said probably a month ago about the Zbigniew Brzezinski doctrine. Maybe there was observation. He said that, and it's worth it to repeat, because he said that countries no longer are important. They not exist. In the future, only the multinational corporation gonna dictate the world, the economy, life, debt, etc. And the only two countries stays independent so far is Russia and China, which are huge populations. And they try to take them over slowly but surely. They probably will. If Putin goes away, because he's from like late 60s, there is a group would call themselves Atlanticists in Russia, which are sympathized with those banking families around the world. And they would probably take Russia over. China, for example, we talked lately about the trade wars. Just about a month ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, S&P 500 announced that 50% of the profit comes from the foreign investments. Take example of the iPhone. iPhone is made in the China, not over here. So if you think that China is at fault, no, it's wrong. This American corporation who left for reasons know that themselves, I can speculate to make the bigger profit. That's the American corporation who are there making bigger profit. And Trump, president, he blamed everybody else, whole world. But the truth is somewhere else. And first, he gave the rich people breaks on taxes, I think like from 36%, 39%, down to 2019. Now he makes those trade wars. And what a trade wars means that any item coming from abroad will cost more. So the poor people have to cover up to balance off the hole which was left by taxes not paid by the maneuver what he made, give them break a year ago or so. So the revenue must be neutral, and poor people gonna pay more at Walmart's, dollar store, etc. China exporting to United States $567 billion worth products. So this is like half $1 trillion. America, I think, only like 140 million toward China. But of those 467 billion coming from China, I would guess at least 50%, this American company, returning the products for bigger profit.
One of the things I want to see happen, I want to see hemp, or they call it hemp, some call it marijuana, but that was the most profitable crop that was ever put out for the farmers. That's why they're trying to get rid of all this land so that it can't be used.
Well, I have a hemp oil, and I'm feeding my dog because, I mean, I'm curing him because he's got sick. He's an old dog, actually only teenager, but for the dog, they're supposed to be advanced age. And the dog likes it. You know, give him like 5-6 drops. He licks it. It looks good now.
We will have hemp as soon as President Trump signs the 2018 Farm Bill.
That would be the best thing that happens if they open that hemp up again. That would let everybody, all this stuff we're paying so much money for, could be bought for pennies by using that hemp.
I'm talking about
clothing, food, medicine, you name it, it's there. And it, you don't have to pay a cent for it because the birds will plant it.
Thomas Jefferson's famous quote was, hemp was the first necessity for the wealth and the prosperity of a nation.
And it was.
That was what Thomas Jefferson said. Well, China controls 88%. China controls 88% of the world hemp industry.
Very true.
When it is illegal here, why you blame them?
Well, the reason why it's illegal here is because there was so much competition between the wood industry, the paper industry, the cotton industry, all these other industries. We're talking on a massive scale. They knew that the layman could grow a weed in his yard and make money doing it. And they didn't want that because then the people would be self-sufficient and independent. That's the last thing they want us to be. That's why they got us where we were back in 1535 under Henry VIII. We're right back there again, people. Yeah, hemp has been legalized. They're decriminalizing. They're for industrial hemp. So stop putting in your seed orders now.
I don't believe hemp ever was anything to be worried about at any time. Other than what the quote-unquote powers to be were doing to the people.
Well, there's over 50,000 products that can be derived from hemp, and every one of them are useful and helpful and healthy for the world, the environment, and the people. But there's a 2,300% markup from hemp from the field to the consumer. But it depends on what the product is going to be used for is going to determine how it's cultivated in the field. So the processing is a big deal. But, you know, we have none of this infrastructure at all, except in 4 states right now, that can handle it. And so all the costs will be consumed in baling the hemp up and shipping it to a manufacturer versus all the infrastructure that has to go into building a plant. You know, so there's a lot of money would have to be spent to make it really profitable for everybody. Now, the people that are already there, all they got to do is go find the farmer and know what the farmer's going to plant, how much he's going to plant, and what the end product is going to be so they know how to process it. That way, yeah, they can have projections on how, what plant it's going to go to, how much they need, and, you know, there's a lot of thought going into this because there are so many diverse products that can be derived from hemp. So there's a lot of thought that has to go into it. You know, on a mass scale, if it's going to be done commercially, then they're going to have to know, the farmers, how much they plant and what it's going to be used for. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't use it if you cut it a certain way in the field. You know, there's a certain way you have to dry it in order to obtain and extract the product that you want from it. So there's a lot of different things that go on with the plant from the time it's grown to the time that a consumer, or whatever the product may be. So there's a lot to it. A lot to it.
I believe I said sometime back about taking the man that's my attorney general out to Colorado. The reason I took him out there is he was supposed to go to a military hospital for some reason. And at the same time, he had planted a crop of medical marijuana. And in 3 months, I went back out there, and he had sold this crop. And he had over $1 million in a check in his billfold. Now, I did not see this, but he told me, he said, they've set up in such a way that one man cannot sign that check. Therefore, it's worthless to anybody unless the right people sign it. Well, when I came back to Peoria, he was supposed to be back here in a week. Unfortunately, they murdered him the day after I left.
Wow.
And he had that check in his billfold that nobody ever saw. And I had the billfold in my pocket. I was kidding with him. And he went for a ride in a BMW. And I said, well, give me that billfold so you don't buy that thing. And he just laughed, and he handed it to me. I stuck it in my pocket, and that was the end of it. After he was murdered, there were five or six guys who were, quote-unquote, in our group who were trying to claim that they owned that check. As far as I know, that check probably got burned up, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, keep your finger on that. And I would certainly write my affidavit. If I was you, I'd write my affidavit with what you just told me, because that could be critical in a court case. Now, keep in mind that this stuff's not going to happen once we take back our courts, because the grand jury's going to get whiff of these things, and they're going to go investigate just to make sure there is no wrongdoing. We're going to put an end to all this in every single county in the country. But the thing about is something else going on here that people aren't quite well aware of. But MKUltra is a real thing. Mind control is a real thing. All they're going to do is dial in the frequency. Okay? But there was one thing that one study that had been done that they claim that people that have smoked marijuana are not susceptible to the mind control. Now, this had to do with the whole world, because we're being chemtrailed by the whole world, by the way. The whole world is all legalizing this medical marijuana all at one time. But you have to understand who owns the medical marijuana industry, which is Monsanto, more than likely, are the ones that are providing the seeds to grow this medical marijuana. So there's something in the natural strain of marijuana versus the medical marijuana, something that is in there that they're removing, so they can mind control all these people that are now smoking this medical marijuana, you see. I mean, that's just my theory. I mean, I'm just, you know, trying to connect the dots to what's going on. And, you know, I've been studying hemp for several years, the industry, and trying to put together a plan to, you know, get somewhere in the mix. I mean, they got transportation that they need to fill. They got seeds they need to fill. They got sales representatives, they need to fill. They got a lot of jobs that need to be created. A lot of jobs. But they just need the money for the infrastructure to do it. Because The hemp is there. The farmers are there. I mean, here in Tennessee, you know, they just shut the tobacco farmers down. All the people that work in tobacco are now collecting food stamps. By design, of course. I mean, that's the way they did it in England. I mean, that's why we left back in the 1600s. For this very reason that we're living today. Isn't that wild how history is repeating itself?
Yeah. There was a man who was a dentist, and I don't recall his name anymore. When I was around flying quite a bit, I had a little contact with him. And he was built an airplane, and that airplane was, they called it the Coarse Jet. You probably remember hearing a little bit about it. He built that airplane so that you could put almost any kind of an engine in it. But that airplane, if I recall correctly, was made out of hemp. Interesting.
Yeah.
They can do anything with. They can do anything with that hemp.
You grow hemp. You grow hemp, and you let it grow for, you know, 4 or 5 years. That's going to be 8-10 inches in diameter. Yeah, I mean, if you don't cut the hemp for a long time, you're definitely going to make logs out of it. It's like the bamboo. I mean, if you let the bamboo grow long enough, it's going to make, you know, a big piece of bamboo. Well, hemp's the same way. Hemp's the same way, and it's just a weed. I mean, that's why they call it a weed, because it will grow anywhere.
That's right. And they can build buildings out of it. They can build...
We can name 50,000 different things. So, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Exactly. I mean, and it's
we can
cheap.
Talk about industries. We could talk about industries. We're talking about thousands, well, hundreds of new industries. Because each industry is going to have to be a specialty. I mean, there's some that you could, you know, pretty closely related to the processing of the plant. But, I mean... A lot of new industries are going to be created. I mean, industries. And
well, they're not actually industries. I hope that they don't go making corporations out of them.
Well, you know every one of them is going to be capitalized. You can bet on that. Well, until we go back to the real dollar. I mean, we get back to the dollar, you know, and put the saying on there, mind your own business. I think that would be, you know, the slogan we should have had put on there back when we had our currency. The gold and silver's got to come back. I mean, the world's gone to gold and silver, and everybody's dumping the dollar, so them container fulls of hundreds are coming back. That's what they're going to call the hyperinflation. Remember when the Germans were going to the store with a wheelbarrow full of money? I can only think we're going to be prepared for that here. Because all that money that the world's been using, all these greenbacks the world's been using, they're not using them no more. They could be burning them up in, like paper. But instead, they're going to come here and buy our real estate with them. Like China already has $13.1 billion of farmland back in 2015. You know, they're not going to be growing fruits and veggies here for the American people. I can bet you on that. But that's all part of the plan.
I don't think we'll be using oil anymore.
Well, we're not going to be importing it no more, that's for sure.
I don't think they're going to be using it nearly.
Excuse me?
They're not going to be using it nearly as much as they are now.
No. But we don't need to. We're going to diversify.
Exactly.
Well, we got to protect ourselves from the crazy people we got going on now. We got to collect those 51,000 people and 125,000, however number it is, and, you know, get them out of society from around the world.
Once that starts happening, you won't see too much happening right away in the counties because they think that they're living high on the hog, which they are. But once the judges start falling, like tornado went through. You're going to see the repercussion happening in the counties, because those guys who think that they got all this power are going to start running for shelter.
Yeah. Well,
speaking about hemp, I think why the hemp is in disadvantage, because they come up with polyester, and polyester is now everywhere, plastic, etc. And it's concentrated in the few hands versus the hemp, which, you know, has to take long time and employ probably more people, but they're less profit. And that's my opinion.
Well, that's a big problem they had. What most people don't understand is unions are created by companies, not in competition with the company. It's the head of the company who will take a fraternity brother and say, look, I'm going to let you make as much money as you want, but we're going to have to act like we're enemies. So you run the union. You don't have to do anything but sit back and collect. And you'll get all these people out here, and they join this union. We'll keep them broke. We keep making money on it, and we will control everything. And that's exactly what's happened, and people don't know it.
Well, I think too many people looking back, you cannot bring the past. You have to look forward. You have to be pragmatic. And we advancing the currency, paper money, it's disappearing. And will be no more. There's only the credit, plastic cards, etc., which give the great control to those multinational corporations, and there's no escape from it. Young men, young women, new generation, they don't want to see the paper.
I think this should be relearned. They need to be retaught.
Donald Trump at the United Nations made a very impressive statement. He says the United States is not going to participate in the International Commercial Court. Okay? He put the kibosh on that. He's taking us out of the International Commercial Court. So now the dollar is no longer the reserve currency of the world. Because he's pulling everything back. Rightfully so. Make America great again. We have every natural resource in the world here. We got the most water. We got the cleanest water and the most water of anybody in the world. If we were going to be exporting anything, we'd be exporting water. But instead, we went over there and taught them how to make water purification systems, and I think we built them. Yeah, we built them for them.
The Chinese were doing that up in the Great Lakes. They were coming in, and they were dropping bladders behind the ships that they were bringing in and hauling that water out of here.
Yeah.
That's why we got all these Asian carp around.
Yeah. We need a lot of fishing. Donald Trump's taking us back in the right direction. He says he's going to return the republic to the people. But the people aren't aware of what he meant by that.
I will probably be the first one to have to admit this, but when Donald Trump opened the first tower out in New Jersey, my grandfather had stock in it. He was a lawyer. His partner, I'm going to name names, so there's going to be people probably very unhappy about this, but Sidney Korshak was his partner. Sidney had a kid brother whose name was Marshall. Marshall was a United States senator. Didn't have brains enough to blow his nose. Every time a bill would come up, he'd call Sidney and say, what should I do with it? Sidney would tell him how to vote on it. Sidney was using that knowledge And he was making big, big dollars off of it. And at that time, Chicago was the entertainment capital of the world. And they decided to move out to California. The reason they went to California is because there was nothing out there. They had nice weather year-round, so they built buildings so that they could make their movies. Okay. Sydney moved to California when Dinah Shore and George Montgomery wanted a divorce. It was an amiable divorce. Dinah had her television show, and Montgomery had his shows out in California. So they both came to Chicago, and they wanted to become divorced amiably. No big deal. Sydney said, well, unfortunately, we cannot do that ethically. However, I have always wanted an office in California, so I will go to California. I will represent one of you, and the Chicago office can handle the other. Okay. When they did this, Sydney, Sydney became the lawyer for the Screen Actors Guild. Ronald Reagan was the head of the Screen Actors Guild at that time. So Sidney promoted Ronald to become the governor of California. Sidney became the head of the Screen Actors Guild. That's how this whole thing was done. Ronald Reagan was a good guy. I don't want to put any bad words against him, because I had no one, I won't say I know him, but I had been around him from the time I was 14 years old. In fact, I made the comment in 1946 that he was a good politician. He was not a politician. He was a movie star. But he would rather have 1% of something than 100% of nothing. And when they had him shot, he fell in line with them. But that's when he really cut back on what he was going for. Sidney then, out in California, moved to Las Vegas. He bought a casino in Las Vegas. I never found out which one it was. My grandfather told me he would give him his name and I could contact him. And I told him I didn't want anything to do with him. I just wanted to know where he was at. Okay, well, while he's out there, my grandfather's still in that firm, and he can't understand what's happening because he's losing and losing and losing all of his clients. I told him, I said, if you ever stop and check the books? He looked at me kind of funny, said, what do you mean? I said, have you ever checked the books in the corporation? He said, no, there's no reason to. He said, Mary, her name was Mary Oppenheimer, but she dropped the ER off of her name so that people wouldn't connect her with the guy who created the atomic bomb. He was living in Florida. While he was living in Florida, they had never had contact with each other. She is playing around with Marshall Korshak. Okay. My grandfather said, you know, he said, I didn't pay any attention to what you said. And said, I was walking down the street one day, and he said, one of my clients came up and said, gee, Tom, I'm sorry to hear you're so busy. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I keep calling your office, want an appointment with you, and Mary tells me that you're so busy you can't handle me, and she pawns me off to somebody else. He went back and he looked at the office, and he found that she had been doing this for years. Okay, I'm going to go back to when Marshall was, or when Sidney was still in Chicago. He would take his wife out, and they would go someplace, and they'd really act the part of a big shot. The waitresses would wait till, well, wait a minute, I'll finish this story. When they get ready to leave, Sidney put a $50 bill or a $100 bill on the table for a tip. Every time he would walk away from that table, his wife would say, oh, I forgot something. And she'd go back to the table, and the waitresses would come back, and they said, you know, we like for you guys to come in, but we don't care for your boss. And my grandfather said, why? He said, he never leaves a tip. He said, well, I saw him put a $100 bill there. I said, bingo, you hit it. She's picking up that $100 bill and putting it back in her purse. That's how they're getting away with so much of this stuff. But he gives the impression to the people that are with him that he's a big tipper. These guys don't miss a trick. I'll get off the story.
What are the people going to do about Antifa using the black, the guerrilla warfare tactics of the belt buckle and getting in your face? All these riots in the city that's going on?
Well, they're really pushing for the all the police to have these cameras, body cameras, and that is an invasion of your privacy right there.
Well, I say we get facial recognition and we start recognizing these people that are all these public events that are creating violence. They're creating harm. They're doing harm. By virtue of them doing harm, they're breaking the law. So if they're breaking the law, why don't we just, with facial recognition, go and arrest these people? If they're going to make life miserable for the peaceful people, let's make life miserable for the violent people and let the peaceful people be peaceful. I mean, let's use the technology for something that's going to be good for us instead of against us. I mean, they know who's committing the crimes. They have all the data. Crazy.
If we went back to having the militia as it was set up,
well,
of course, I'm way too old for that anymore. But I'm not saying I wouldn't get into it. But
the militia don't even know who they are.
They don't
even know there's a militia.
The people have been dumbed down so much that they have not been told any of this stuff. It's like when I said I took these lawyers under my wing. They had no idea what the law was. All they knew was the form that they had to use in order to make money in the courts. When I brought them back, they were winning all their cases, and the entire system went against them, and some of them were threatened with death. Others were forced out of the bar. Well, I'll tell you, I worked in the bar, but this is where we sold beer.
Well, the solution is that we take the Department of Education and we break it all up and send everything right back to the states and let the states control their own Department of Education. That way there, it gets the communist hands out of our education. You know, we turn the education closer to the people because they, the communists, they've been at this for a long, long time. A long, long time they've been at this.
What people don't know is back in the early 1900s, a man with a sixth-grade education had an education which was worth much more than a college education today.
Because they taught responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, out of the 65 rights that are granted to us by the founding documents, I bet most people couldn't name 30 of them.
You wouldn't have to name 30 of them because these were laws for the government, not for you and I.
Right. Well, I know. The Constitution, yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
And people don't know that. And this is what they did is they started getting everybody interested in basketball, baseball, football, and guys that I took under my wing and tried to help along. In fact, I just read an article today in the newspaper. I wanted to become a pilot in the Air Force. So I was going down to the gym and working out, trying to keep myself in halfway decent condition. And I met a kid down there. This kid was built like an outhouse, let's put it that way. And got talking with him. And I told him I was going to go on to county. And he wanted to go on to county with me. But he was just, at that time, 20 years old. I said, well, when you turn 21, if you got a brother that's got a lot of contacts, use him and get on the county. He did. So, unfortunately, he ended up with me, and I was a senior partner with him, and I noticed he couldn't drive. Oh, he had a driver's license, and he had a car, but he couldn't drive worth a damn. So I said, well, I'm going to teach you to drive. So I took him out to the Girl Scout camp, and we're riding around in a circle out there, and he drives into a ditch. Wouldn't you know it, that's when I got a call. And I'm trying to get this thing out, and I didn't want anybody to know that I was trying to teach him to drive. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. At that time, there was only the sheriff, and you had an undersheriff. And the undersheriff, in most cases, became the sheriff at the end of 4 years because they could not go longer than their elected term of years. But if the undersheriff became the sheriff, then they could go back and forth as long as they're keeping everybody happy. And at the same time, the sheriff made $3,200 a year. Interesting. $3,200 a year. He had a car furnished to him, which was a rented car. We had four cars on the county. The two cars were used for patrol. We had two sections. You had a north section and a south section. Now that 720 acres split up 360 acres per section. They told us we could only put 100 miles on a car a night. We work 6 days a week. And there was no way that you could, if you were doing the job right, that you could do the job and stay within that 100 miles. Anyhow, when I got off, these guys wanted to become a lieutenant or a captain or some designation. They didn't like the idea of just being a deputy. But as a deputy, they all were equal. That's the way the sheriff's department was set up, not as paramilitary. The paramilitary was given to them by the quote-unquote people in government by giving them military surplus. And boy, these guys thought they were really hot stuff when they got that, and they got to be a captain or a lieutenant or a sergeant. I would say that there wasn't anybody there that I know of that was worth any rank. In fact, many of the guys that I worked with could hardly read. I would take the law and give it to the four or five guys I'm around and ask them to explain it to me. I got a different answer from every one of them. None of them were correct. These guys, most of them were retired. Well, I'll use one particular guy in mind. He had been a good friend of mine. And when he was working, before he became a deputy sheriff, he was working in a photography developing company. But he was using contacts he had. The man who was ahead of the District 8 would call him up and say, "Jack, what are you doing tonight?" He said, "Well, I'm just sitting around watching television." He said, "Well, if you look out your front door, there's a squad car out there. Go get in that car, and he'll take you down to where a car is parked. Pick it up and bring it back here, and we'll take care of it when you get here." He said, "I got in that car," and he said, "I tried to drive," and he said, "it was so heavy in the back end," he said, "the front wheels were barely touching the ground." He said, "but I finally got it back." He said, "the guy told him," he said, "well, if you look on your front porch, you got a package on the front porch." He said, "that was a color television." That's when color television was brand new. This is the way he was getting a lot of extra money. I think that kind of tells you what was going on. At the same time, he was dating a doctor's daughter who was an abortionist in town when it was illegal. And he'd make jokes to her. He'd say, "well, let's go down and see your old man and watch him perform an abortion." Well, it was kind of funny at the time, but then it got so it wasn't funny at all because he was using all that stuff he could use to make buck with. But many of these guys were working other jobs. I can go on and on and on about this. And these were not supposed to have any other job. They were, that was their own job, only job. And they're making all this money, and most of them retired. In fact, I saw where one of them retired. He's got 100 and, I think it was around $180,000 in retirement. That's not saying about what he was doing on the side. No wonder we can't get rid of these guys. And I'm talking about guys that I thought at one time were friends. And all they were doing was trying to find a way to get ahead of me.
Well, it's a little after 10. If nobody else has anything more to add, we can stop the recording.